Today is Resurrection Sunday. It's a day of great rejoicing and celebration. We are acknowledging to the world, that the gravestone, it has been rolled away, and God's only begotten Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, has risen from the dead. But why? Why is this event so important to your personal Christian walk? Let's turn in our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and listen to God's Holy Spirit speak to us about the resurrection. Are you ready? Are you ready at home? Here we go. Now, I would remind you, brethren, in what terms I preached to you the gospel, which you received, in which you stand, by which you are saved, if you hold it fast, unless you believe in vain. For I, Paul, delivered to you as of first importance what I, Paul, already received. Did you catch that? Paul is telling us to never underestimate the powerful influence of relationships. See, Paul was not there when the disciples were with Jesus. Jesus came and met Paul long after the resurrection. He's saying what was told to me, I'm telling to you. And I'm sharing with you what was told to me as your pastor, I'm telling to you as members of this congregation and the body of Christ. That Jesus died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. That He was buried. This is a confirmation that He really died. And that He was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. And that He appeared to Cephas. Now, Cephas is the Aramaic form of Peter's name. Then to the 12. Then He appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then He appeared to James. And this particular James is Jesus' half-brother. Then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, He appeared also to me. Let me stop you there. Up to this point, there are a lot of witnesses, eyewitnesses' accounts of the resurrection. Verse 9, for I am the least of the apostles, unfit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. If we look in Acts chapter 9, what does it say? Who was Paul actually persecuting? It is I, Jesus, who you persecute. He was actually persecuting Christ Himself. Verse 10, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. You, and you, and you, and you, you are who you are because God is great. And His grace towards me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God which is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preached, and so you believed. Now, if Christ is preached as raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. If Christ has not been raised, then our preaching, my preaching, my leaving 40-year law practice, my leaving 27 years in the army, my leaving 30 years on the bench, I'm telling you, it's all in vain. It is useless. And your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God. In other words, we're actually false witnesses. Because we testified of God that He raised Christ, whom He did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. Verse 16, for if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised. If Christ had not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep, in other words, those who have died, in Christ have perished. They're lost. What does verse 19 say? If for this life only, if our only thing in this life is hope in Christ, we are of all people the most to be pitied. Verse 20. But in fact, Christ has been risen from the dead. I don't know if you caught this, but Paul used the term raised 7 times in this passage to make a point. Jesus was the first fruit of those who had fallen asleep. Now go to verse 50 for me. Verse 50. I tell you this, brethren, flesh and blood. Now when we talk about flesh and blood, we're talking about perishable or corrupt or weak or sinful human beings cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Lo, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Listen to this. Listen to this. Oh, I want to wash my face. I want to just, all of me, in a moment, in a flash, in an instant, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable. And we, you and I, will be changed. For this perishable nature must put on the imperishable, and the mortal nature must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass, not if, not might, not may, then shall come to pass the saying that is written and that you sang this morning and that George read. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy victory? O death, where is thy sting? For you see, the sting of death is sin. And the power behind sin is the law. It was the law of God that gives sin its power because it reveals to you and to me our sins. And then you know what it does? Like a vapor, like a viper. It just turns back and it points its finger at us and it condemns us because of our sin. Verse 57. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And I love looking for the word therefore. Therefore, based upon the evidence that I've already given you, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. I'm here to share with you this morning that you know, you now know that that in the Lord, your labor, whatever that may be, is not in vain. In other words, our effort is invested in the Lord's winning cause. And then if you look in Matthew and in Luke 19 and Matthew 25, it also assures us that we will also be rewarded at His second coming. May the Lord bless you exceedingly in the reading of His Word. Now, why does the resurrection matter so much? I know a lot of you have been doing a lot of planning. I got to tell you, I would love to have you all come over to my house. But I remember one time, I won't dime him out, but Jerry Hooper, yes, you heard me, Jerry, was telling me he was having some baby back ribs, but he's only got it for 2 people, so I couldn't stay for dinner. My wife has made two pans of pastizo, and there's not enough for you. There's only enough for me, so you can't come to dinner today. But I know you all got something going on at home. But I need you to be listening here because you need to take this and you need to eat this of what the Lord has for you right now. I am giving you a feast. I am giving you by the Holy Spirit. I am getting out of the way. I am just simply His herald. And I'm giving you a feast now for you to take home. Why does the resurrection matter so much? My friend and fellow Biola Board of Trustee member, a guy by the name of Clarence L. Haynes Jr., he authored a number of books, including The Pursuit of Purpose, How God Leads You into His Perfect Will. From Clarence's research and writings, I would like to give you four reasons you can rely on the proof that your faith in Jesus Christ is not in vain. But rather, and sadly, for those who choose not to believe that the sun rises are the souls that need our pity and that we pray will not be lost to all eternity. The first one, and I know Lisa likes to write notes, so Lisa, number one, the resurrection proved Jesus was who He said He was. Jesus was not the first, nor was He the last person to claim to be the Messiah. In fact, Jesus even said that many will come claiming to be the one. If there are many people that attempted to claim this, what is it that sets Jesus apart from all the rest that claim to be the Messiah? There's only one thing that you could point to, and that's the empty tomb. If Jesus was still in the tomb, then he would be no different from any other person who claimed to be the Messiah. The resurrection is proof that Jesus was who He said He was. In Luke chapter 9, verse 22, Jesus said, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and He must be killed and on the third day be raised to life." All throughout His time with His disciples, Jesus kept telling them He was going to die and He was going to be raised to life again on the third day. If this didn't happen, then Jesus would basically be a liar and a deceiver. However, because He rose on the third day, praise God, as He said He would, this validated every claim that He ever made about Himself. You see, there is no religion on the face of the earth that can make that claim. Jesus Christ died and rose again, proving to the world that yes, He is God and He is the one and the only Messiah. Number two, the resurrection completed your salvation. As we have read this morning in Paul's epistle to the Corinthian church, there are compelling arguments why the resurrection matters so much. If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified against God that He raised Christ from the dead. But if He did not be raised Him, then if in fact He is still dead and not raised, if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Do you see the importance of the resurrection highlighted in these verses? If there's no resurrection, your preaching, your faith, they're useless. More importantly, we are still all in all of our sins. There is no forgiveness of sins. There's no salvation without the resurrection. Remember, if Christ did not rise from the dead, He was nothing more than a liar, which means He could not be perfect sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, we are all still trapped. We are trapped. We are bound. We are imprisoned. We're enslaved to our sin, and we are separated from God. However, the good news is that Jesus did raise from the dead. This act of resurrection, what it did is that it completed our salvation, and it gives us hope. The disciples went out proclaiming the message of the gospel based upon the fact, not emotions, not feelings, that they had seen Jesus raised from the dead. This was the basis for the message of the gospel then, and that it has never changed. The third reason, the resurrection gives us hope of our resurrection. Again, Paul proclaims to us that Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came from a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all died, so in Christ all will be made alive. How about this? If you look at John chapter 11, 25, Jesus said this. Now watch this. This is powerful. I actually had to sit for a while because this just knocked me over. Jesus said in John 11, He said, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. Why do you have hope of the resurrection? Because He rose from the dead. Jesus was the first to be resurrected, and because He was resurrected, we have that same hope. That's why what He said in John chapter 11 makes so much sense. Listen to this. Golly, if I could stomp up and down, but I know it would disrupt everything. Jesus did not claim to have resurrection power. Wait a minute, I'm going to stand back. Jesus did not claim to have resurrection power. Jesus claimed to be the resurrection. Oh my gosh! Are you listening to what that means? This means that there's the hope in Christ is the hope in the resurrection. Jesus proved that He was the resurrection because on the third day, that is exactly what He did. Because He rose up, we also know that one day you and I will rise up also. In 1 John 3:2, it declares, "Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." And finally, the fourth, the resurrection gives us the promise of eternal life. Ultimately, one day, each of us will all pass through this life. If that was all there is, if that was the final ending, that would be very, very sad. Very tragic. But understand this. Life does not and will not end there. When Jesus rose from the dead, He not only conquered sin, He conquered death. Yes, we must all die while in this body, but that is not an ending. It's simply a transition. Our hope of eternal life is secured in the sun rises. We have a risen Savior who has gone before us. One day the sting of death will no longer, and the hope of eternal life will no longer be faith. It will be our reality. The resurrection is what gives us that assurance. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with the immortal, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in what? Victory. Sin will no longer have power or dominion. Our physical bodies, which are made up of perishable, sown in dishonor, sown in weakness, the natural person that comes from the dust, it will be transformed into resurrection bodies that are imperishable, raised in glory, raised in power. They will be spiritual bodies made from heaven. Thanks be to God, for He gives us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Because Christ is alive, we have victory over sin and death, which leads to eternal life. Today is Resurrection Sunday, A day of great rejoicing and celebration. Why? Because the great victory that Jesus has won for us. Christ is alive forevermore. And so are you. Your victory in Christ, it's signed, it's been sealed, and it has been delivered, all because of one reason. Jesus lives. This is why the resurrection matters so much. And this is why we can rejoice both now and forever. Let us always celebrate the glorious salvation that has been purchased for us by our risen Savior. He is alive, and to Him be glory forever and ever. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15:2 says this, "Hold firmly to the Word." And we know in John 1, the Word is Christ. Hold fast. If you are not persevering in your Christian faith, seeking an increase, "Lord, give me an increased faith. Strengthen my spiritual disciplines. Help me to pursue a daily life of holiness." This may be compelling evidence that you might not know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior in the first place. If you have never received Jesus into your life as your personal Lord and Savior, or you need to get it settled once and for all, don't put it off another moment. Easter Sunday is a wonderful day of salvation. Come forward now and receive the Lord's free gift of salvation and His forgiveness of all your sins. He has an eternal place for you if you will only come to Him and ask. He is waiting. You come.